You're listening to Remotely One, a podcast that educates, entertains, and inspires you to take your life back from the office commute. I'm Rick, a former beer rep who left the warehouse to become a voice actor and digital creator.
And I'm Kaleem, a remote work advocate and consultant. We're going to speak with some of the top professionals who have managed to avoid the commute as they share stories from the most inspiring to the most comical, all while working remotely.
Man, this sounds awesome. Let's clock in.
Hello, I'm Hampton Clarkson. I'm with Dell Technologies, and I'm representing Bangor, Maine and Worcester, Massachusetts. We're here at the ReLead Summit here in DC, baby. Shout out. Welcome. Good to see you, brother. Good to be here. Topic today is hybrid learning programs, how essential they are in onboarding remote employees. First and foremost, what is a hybrid learning program?
Great question. I like to use the term blended learning.
Okay.
Hybrid learning, I think, I'm an education background. So blended learning to me is more about bringing different modalities of learning experiences together, one learning journey per learner.
Okay.
So when you think about what does that mean when it comes to onboarding, right? So let's say we had a bunch of different people starting at different dates, different times, right? What would be something that I could do to make sure that people felt a sense of belonging and team, right? And so what we've tried to do, or what I've tried to do in my professional career of onboarding, is creating experiences where a company can bring in people that are starting at a different date within a given time, within about a quarter of a year, create a learning journey for that new hire that culminates into a experiential learning environment or experience at the end of it that demonstrates that they have all the skills and things they need to demonstrate their capacity at the end of the program. So we want to build them up to that, right? And it's about using pedagogy and scaffolding and different methodologies to create a baseline of knowledge. And, you know, I use the terms acquire, apply, and assess. And in that first part, we're really just building up their background and their knowledge of, you know, whatever the role is or whatever we're trying to train them on, company knowledge, all that kind of stuff. And then we start to put them in situations where they have to apply that knowledge, right? Get feedback.
Okay.
The ability to make quick changes.
Okay.
And then after that, we want to assess them on their ability to actually do the job in an environment where they can feel safe and get feedback.
Right. So that is a blended onboarding program. I'm curious. So for 2 years, we talked about this earlier. We've been in this quote unquote pandemic remote where you can't really safely get together. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see that come out of that a little bit. The efficiencies of onboarding people remotely probably have worked pretty well for you because you can get a lot of people through the program quickly. Why should they fly people together? Like, why add an in-person component? What's the purpose of that?
Yeah, the in-person component of a blended learning experience does several things. One, it brings a bunch of people together in like a cohort to create a network and create a sense of belonging. And I'm not the only person going through this experience. It's really important. Then the network, you know, you get people that know a lot about one thing and maybe not about others, and they're sharing. It's awesome. That's one aspect. The other aspect is it might be the first time ever that this remote worker is ever going to see your headquarters or ever see anything about your infrastructure in your building.
Interesting.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Forget about that. The old tour back in the day is gone.
Yeah. You used to have that, you know, orientation tour, you know, that's gone for a lot of people. So to actually say, I know what my company headquarters looks like and I've been there and I've walked around, that's pretty important.
Yeah.
And it also helps with the sense of belonging to something greater than themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a huge part of it. And the learning that can happen in a cohort like that, you just can't replace that.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Solid. So we're talking onboarding, typically 90-day period, right?
Depends on the role.
Okay. Like, I mean, on average, it's about 90 days.
Yeah, it's about that. That's fair. I think there, for some roles, I've been involved with technical sales or pre-sales. That's a little bit longer because of the technical nature of the role. They got to make sure they know what they're talking about.
Sure.
So it's learning the process and all the tools and all that. But then there's also learning the product portfolio set for it, which can be extensive depending on the company and the Okay. How many products they have.
For us, we like to try to have people look at onboarding as a year-long program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because basically you don't want to overwhelm them. You want to be able to check in. You want to be able to do progress. So we try to stretch it out to about a year.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think onboarding for the most part is your insurance, like your work, your
benefits.
Yeah.
HR stuff. Yeah. That's not even, that's just literally like just to get you hired. You know, that's not, it's about like learning how to work with the team. And,
right.
So take your time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the, you know, quickly talked about blended learning, but I mentioned the term modalities, right? So whether it's on demand or asynchronous learning, where they can get started and you create like a, what we did is we created like a learning journey for people to learn on their own time, right? Yeah. And that gets them to a certain point. Then I did these virtual sessions where everyone dialed in and we shared what they were going to, got people to a certain level. And we went a little bit deeper and asked them to apply some of the concepts they learned on their own in these little breakouts and things. And then we flew them in on site and we did a customer case study
on
their role. And they had to actually go through a sales campaign or a technical sales campaign.
Like a role play.
That whole week.
Yeah.
So they might have had, we role play what a month would look like, but in a week. So you meet with the customer, you do some discovery. You know, you do some other, you do go back, you bring your data, you come back with a solution, and then you got to defend your pitch. So we did all those things in new hire and really kind of sped up the time, the ramp to productivity because we were able to streamline the process and make it more succinct and then put people in cohorts and give them a support network of their own.
Efficiency.
Efficiency. And then exposure to leadership could happen on a scheduled basis.
Yeah.
Right. And really gave the leaders a good chance to meet all the new people coming into the company. And they loved it because they knew, hey, I know next quarter, Hampton's going to be calling me for new hire. And it was a great opportunity for those new hires to see their leaders, hear from them, build relationships with them, get that visibility. And then they're back out into the field.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So since we're talking about leaders, the on-site leaders at the office, how can they leverage the office in a way that brings the remote people on-site for more of a culture-building experience, like socially, like a team-building experience, versus, hey, we're having a meeting at the office, this is business only?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think it's important for people managers to do exactly what you're talking about, but find things that are relevant to the people that they're leading.
Right? Yeah.
So if it's a, you know, maybe it's a give back opportunity or a charitable day where you build up the whole day to be about connection and maybe giving back. And I'm finding right now that's been probably the number one draw to get remote people back is our employee resource groups activity.
Yeah.
And then a lot of our employee resource group activity is either about professional development, developing the individuals, or going out into the community and helping an organization, a nonprofit, maybe have a bigger impact in a community that's important to the ERG. So we're finding lots of success with that. I'd like to see more a blend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it has to be either or, Rick. I think it needs to be a blend. Like, hey, let's create a quarterly business review, have some fun at the end and go donate and do something special for a nonprofit. That way you make the whole day a valuable experience, not only for the business, but for the people. And you really add to the culture.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, there was a company that, you know, we kind of worked with that did a retreat in Europe. And I could have the percentages wrong, but I feel like he did kind of a poll on like, what's the perfect amount of work at a retreat or any type of event when you're a remote company, because your needs are different, right? So now your needs are about making connections, right? So I think I heard something like 60% fun, 20% nothing planned, like just so that they can, power down. And then something like 10%.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay. 10% part, right? Yeah. Okay. Because like your work's being done remotely. We all figured out that we can work remotely, but we can't make connections.
Yes. So. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
And what's cool about the blend, like you bring it back to the onboarding experience to that point is, you know, when they're, we did a lot of group work in that on site. So you're in a cohort, but you're also working with others who are also trying to figure out how to do the job.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's trial by error. It's fun. It's low stakes. but there's also this competitive internal pressure amongst them.
Sure.
So it's fun to see them competing to go after it, but also the biggest thing is that they're making connections in those small groups and then with the greater cohort as they're all going through the same experience and feeling the same pressures of the case study and all that other stuff. So it's great to see them grow, to have similar experience, and maybe even butt heads a little bit in that little group.
Sure.
And then work it out and figure it out and then have lifelong relationships in the group.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. So with regard to everything that the three of us have just discussed, do you feel that you learned something valuable today in this event regarding this topic?
I've learned a ton.
Yeah.
But I've also validated quite a bit.
Okay.
That I believe important by myself. I thought in my own mind, these are the right things. And then coming here today,
perfect,
to the Relead Summit has really helped me validate, you know, you're going down the right path, thinking the right way.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Don't give up. Don't stop pushing the agenda here because it's in this wave of change. That's all it is. And so the resistance if there is any, a lot of resistance, there hasn't been much at my company, to be honest, but there's been pockets of it. But where that is, it's just they haven't experienced this before.
Mm.
So it's, you know, I then have to help them see the value of it.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Love that. That's a great term. I love it. So shifting gears a little bit, what's an interesting factoid that a lot of people might not know about you? Some fun experience.
I know all.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
I know all.
And we're counting on you to keep to yourself.
Yes, I'm definitely keeping it myself. We want the most embarrassing. We don't want some life. This is our podcast. We play here.
So you don't want any of my achievements?
We don't want to achieve. No, achievements could work.
Achievements could work.
You know, my fun fact that I would tell everybody outside of Bangor is that Stephen King was my little league all-star baseball coach.
We talk about that on every episode.
And I competed against him when he was the Bangor Hydro coach. I was Rotary West.
Rotary West is the best.
We always had to compete with Bangor Hydro and it was like Stephen King. And you know,
I was on CE Noise, no big deal.
CE Noise. I remember CE Noise.
That's a good one.
I remember Ken Mansfield, the late great Ken Mansfield.
And yes,
all that.
Yes, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So, what else? I can't use that as my fun fact with you guys. So,
but the people watching would definitely appreciate.
No, go for another one.
Okay, so I was kind of talking about this last night. Just fun fact is, I've been in the USA Today when I was in high school. It's a long time ago. But that was one of the best, like a moment for myself where I recognized you can do anything you put your mind to and get recognized for it. So high school senior year, I had a ridiculous game, like 350 yards and 50 carries. And it was, you know, something that I never
remember that.
For. And that was a pretty cool thing. And a lot of people assume I was some type of athlete or whatever. But
were.
You
were.
For sure.
Proved it.
Yes. And it was cool. It was a cool experience. But I don't know if that's the fun fact I want to use. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I think those are great.
I think those are both amazing.
Can I give one fun fact?
Of course.
One more.
Okay.
Once upon a time, when I was a history as a teacher, I might have not known how to send an attachment on an email.
Go on.
It's a real story.
What year is this?
This was probably 2008.
Oh, my.
I didn't know how to send an attachment, but now I work at Dell Technologies and I can talk about cloud. And
there is hope for you after all.
There's hope. If you couldn't send an attachment yesterday, you can talk about cloud tomorrow. Trust me. It was awful.
Yeah.
I just realized I was like pencil paper. I was like a caveman.
Yeah. You're teaching hardcore, teaching the young bucks.
Yeah.
Tough kid.
That's with books and paper, not with computers.
That's great.
So, sir, tell our listeners and viewers, where can they find you online if they want to reach out to you and hear about some of this remote work on? Where can they find you?
LinkedIn. Hit me up on LinkedIn.
There it is.
There it is.
The magic word.
Hit me up on LinkedIn. Direct message me. You know, connect with me. I absolutely would love to have you follow what I'm doing and what I'm interested in. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Reach out.
Well, I got to say, I've known you a long time, and it's been a long time since I've actually had a conversation with you. You're a grown man now, and I'm proud of the accomplishments you've made.
Amen. So,
serious work.
Good to hang out with you.
All right. That's my big brother. That's my brother, right? That's my quarterback.
You've been listening to Remotely One. Visit us at remotelyone.com/podcast for upcoming episodes. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our episodes on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, don't forget to clock out.